I want to talk about Joseph's cup here in Genesis 44. Well, in verse 2, he says, "Put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest." Well, the words for silver and money are the same in Hebrew. So I think Joseph wants to teach all of them and Benjamin that, you know, you came up to give me silver to get food and I put the silver back in your sacks. All the time I'm giving to you, and now my most valuable silver cup, I also, in a sense, give to you. And it is by that that I divine. It is by that that I know the truth about you. And, of course, they had sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. So it all sort of comes together. And I think you could argue that the 20 pieces of silver that they got for Joseph were actually a fairly significant attraction for them. That they thought, well, yeah, what profit is there if we just kill him? We could get some profit out of this. We could get 20 pieces of silver, which was a reasonable amount of money. This was an attractive idea to them, and they all unanimously went along with it. It's as if he's saying, yeah, you so loved silver, and I shall shower silver upon you. All the time, he is trying to work with them to help them to get in touch with their subconscious sense that he is Joseph. When we were chatting about Genesis 42, I discussed about why the brothers sat there in Canaan, not going down into Egypt, and Jacob has to prod them and say, look, you know, our cattle are dead, the land's parched, we're on the verge of death. Go and do what everyone else is doing. Go down to Egypt and buy us some food, for crying out loud. And it says that he says, why do you look at each other? It was all unconscious, in the deep subconscious. But the reason they didn't go down, I suggested, was because they had this conscience about Joseph. This Hebrew guy who had interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh, and you had to go down to him and bow down to him, and then you could buy food off him so that you might live. Yeah, they had sold Joseph into Egypt, and I guess they'd all wondered quite whatever happened to Joseph. And he'd had those dreams about them bowing down to him. In their deep subconscious, they knew it was him. And so Joseph is working to help them towards honesty, to help them towards repentance and to acceptance that he knows. So he tells the servant to say to them, verse 4, why have you rewarded evil for good? Because immediately they're going to naturally turn around and say, we did not reward evil for good. We did not do any evil to you, sir. That was the natural reaction that he knew they were going to make. But of course they had done evil to him. He says in Genesis 50, you meant it for evil. You did evil to me. Joseph recognizes that, and he wants them to recognize, look, you did evil to me. But God meant it for good. You did evil, but God turned your evil into good. And so he's trying to get them to recognize that by saying, why have you rewarded evil for good? Sure, you didn't steal my cup. But before you go too quickly saying, we never rewarded evil for good, we never did evil to this guy who's, to Joseph, to the guy who's the lord of the country, we did not do any evil to Joseph. Just before, guys, you go too far down that line, you sure you didn't? You did. So the whole purpose of it is that through this business with the cup, they were being helped towards self-examination and repentance. He wants to elicit repentance from them and recognition of what they had actually done. And he does that through making these false accusations. You stole my cup. We were there eating together and you went and nicked my cup off the table. No, we didn't. We did not reward you evil for good. Yeah, okay, you didn't do that over the cup business, but you did do evil to Joseph earlier. That was the idea. So verse 5, isn't this that from which my Lord drinks and by which he indeed divines? You have done evil. You have done evil. We didn't do evil. We didn't steal the cup. We didn't do evil to Joseph. at this time. That was the idea. That was what was to be elicited. And it was therefore by their attitude to the cup that Joseph would divine them or understand them or perceive them. And I think, of course, this does look forward to the cup of the Lord Jesus, because Joseph is such a clear type of the Lord Jesus. And I think it is, to some degree, through our attitude to the breaking of bread that we are revealed for who we really are. As we come before the cross of Jesus in our own imagination, are we convicted of our sin or not? When Jesus was a little baby, Simeon holds him in his arms, Luke 2:35, and says that a spear is going to pierce into him, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He there is the source that elicits from us a recognition of sin and failure, that elicits self-examination. Now, when we read in Genesis 44, verse 5, that by the cup Joseph divines, this is the same word that the Septuagint uses at this point in verse 5. It's the same word in 1 Corinthians 11:28. Let a man examine or divine himself, and then eat the bread and drink from the cup. And we might rather expect him to say, eat the bread and drink the wine. But he says, eat the bread and drink the cup. The cup is put by metaphor for the wine. He doesn't say, let him eat the saucer or eat the plate and drink the cup. He says, eat the bread and drink the cup. It's emphasizing the cup and connecting drinking the cup with examining or divining yourself. And yet it is Jesus or Joseph who divines through the cup. And why? Because Proverbs states very clearly that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So it is through, that's Proverbs 20, verse 27. So it is through our self-examination that we are revealed to God. It is through our attitude to Jesus crucified that our real self is revealed to God and to Jesus. And it is by that that he discerns those who are his. So then as we look at him there, we should be convicted of our sin. And conviction of sin is not on the agenda of secular man in our age. But we should see him there and be convicted of his love and his grace, as well as necessarily so of our own failure and our own sin. And convicted too of his huge desire to save us and to therefore bow before him.